please welcome to the Line of Fire microphones for the very first time hosting the Line of Fire, Ron Cantor.
It's time for The Line of Fire with your host, activist, author, international speaker, and theologian, Dr. Michael Brown, your voice of moral, cultural, and spiritual revolution. Michael Brown is the director of the Coalition of Conscience and president of Fire School of Ministry. Get into The Line of Fire now by calling 866-34-TRUTH. That's 866-34-TRUTH. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
All is well in the world, friends. I want to ensure everybody that everything is okay. I'm sure you've read the news over the past few days. Donald Trump has become a Christian, and so everything is okay. There's nothing to worry about. And I am not Dr. Michael Brown, though I admire him greatly, and I'm very grateful. My name is Ron Cantor, that he has given me the next 2 hours to the privilege of being able to communicate with you, and I want to hear from you. We're going to talk about all kinds of sorts of things, including Donald Trump. And the phone number here is 866-34-TRUTH. That's 866-348-7884. And just a little bit about who we are. I've known Dr. Brown for a long, long time. I am a Jewish believer. And in 1983, I came to faith. And I said to my mom, I said, Mom, if you can find a Jewish person who actually knows God, because I was a crazy as a new believer. I'm still a little crazy, as you're going to experience over the next 2 hours. But I would see rabbis on the street if I was in D.C. or New York, and I would ask them, I'd say, do you know God? Because it seemed to me that most people talked about knowing about God, but I didn't meet anybody who actually had a personal relationship with God. So I said to my mom, I said, if you can find a Jewish person who knows God, I would love to meet with them. Now, we lived in Richmond, Virginia, and we had to travel to New York City, actually to Brooklyn, and I met with Rabbi Yehuda Fine, who may be listening. I don't know, but he's still an active rabbi, and he spent the next two, three days seeking to convince me that Jesus was not the Jewish Messiah. And through that experience, I was put in touch with Dr. Michael Brown. And he coached me through that. And in fact, it was before he was He was just Michael Brown at that time, but he was still probably the most equipped person in the world to debate rabbis, to talk about the authenticity of Jesus Yeshua as the Messiah. And he really helped me through that time. And we've been super close friends ever since. In fact, it was just after that time that I went to visit him and his family and ended up going to Bible school in New York, sitting under him, moving to Maryland, being a part of. Oh, he just sent me a message. Let me see if I can read it. I'm going to need my reading glass. Don't blow it today. Okay. Well, there's a vote of confidence from I thought you were on a plane somewhere. How is he doing this? And in fact, Dr. Brown is so gifted. He's so smart. He's so amazing that I remember, this is a true story. You know, Dr. Brown, if you know him, he likes to write late at night and he'll get up just in time to go do what he has to do. But he'll, you know, I will email him from Israel in the afternoon and when it would be probably 2 or 3 a.m. here, and he emails me right back. So either he wakes up just to answer my emails because he loves me so much, or he's up writing and seeking the Lord. But I remember one time I was in Bible school. And he comes in and he says, I'm sorry I'm late. I had to take a French test. So he was in the midst of getting his doctorate. And we're like, wait, you don't know French. How could, he's like, I don't, but I figured it out. He figured out French. By the way, I'm from Israel. I haven't mentioned that yet. It took me 7 years to preach my first sermon in Hebrew. And Dr. Brown passes a French test without knowing French. So I was a little jealous and still am. But I'm blessed to be who God has created us to be. And my wife and I, Ilana, we moved to Israel. And my wife's a native born Israeli. And she moved, we moved there back there in 2003. We led a congregation called Tiferet Yeshua, the glory of Yeshua. And I'm just going to assume right now because, yep, there it is. There's the music. We're going to tell you more about that on the other side. We're going to be right back, tell you a little bit more about us. And we're going to talk about Donald Trump's conversion.
Change the world.
Hey, this is Michael Brown. I want to invite you to join me for our second ever trip to Israel, February 25th through March 6th, 2017. This is a great opportunity. I get to interact with you, our radio listening audience, and our ministry partners as we experience the land of Israel together, and it will be a life changer. We've got a great price on the trip, and if you're one of our monthly supporters or torchbearers, you're eligible to receive a special discount for this once-in-a-lifetime experience. Space is limited. And we're accepting applications on a first-come, first-served basis. For more information on the trip to secure your spot, go to AskDrBrown.org, click on the Israel banner, or call our office at 704-782-3760.
Fire we want, for fire we please.
It's the Line of Fire with your host, Dr. Michael Brown. Get into the Line of Fire now by calling 866-34-TRUTH. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
Okay, there we go. Oh, we got some Israeli music. They're honoring me with Israeli music. Dr. Michael Brown, my dear friend and cohort in the proclamation of the gospel of Yeshua the Messiah to our people, the Jewish people, is not with us today. He is either on a plane or recovering after, I don't know how, it's like 25 hours from Australia, where he ministered, I think, 25 times over 10 days. So he's getting some well-needed rest. And I see that we do have someone on the line, and we're going to come to you in just a minute, so don't hang up. And you want to talk about Donald Trump? Well, let me just introduce myself real quick. My name is Ron Cantor. My wife and I, Ilana, we live in Israel. We just happened to be in Charlotte this weekend, and it just worked out great to be here. We have a podcast ourselves. You can find that at roncan.net/ronpod. That's roncan.net/ronpod. And we have a book that we have written, and actually it's a trilogy, two are out, and it's called Identity Theft. If you'd like to read the first two chapters of that, it's a novel about this Jewish guy named David has a Scrooge-like experience, and he is able to go through the Holocaust, through the Inquisitions, and he actually goes back to the first century where he's able to hear the good news of Yeshua, the gospel, in its original Jewish context. You can start reading it for free at idtheftbook.com. And if you would like to get a free ebook called The 15 Most Important Facts That You Need to Know About the Israeli-Palestinian Conflict, go to roncan.net/15facts. Make sure that the F is capitalized. And again, it is great to be with you. So, Donald Trump, according to a report, has accepted Christ, Messiah, into his life. And we have some audio that we're going to play for you right now. And this is from one of the most respected voices in all of the evangelical world, Dr. James Dobson.
Well, I was too, and I think he is listening. There are a lot of people ministering to him personally, a lot of ministers who are not, he did accept a relationship with Christ. I know the person who led him to Christ.
Really?
And that's fairly recent.
No kidding.
Yeah.
How recent, roughly?
Well, I don't know.
Oh, yes, yes.
I don't know when it was, but it has not been long.
Wow.
And I believe he...
So, okay, I think that's enough. Dr. James Dobson, again, one of the most respected voices in the evangelical world, is talking about a friend of his who led Donald Trump in a prayer of salvation. Now, the first thing we have to say is this. We hope it's real. We want Trump to, I want Hillary to be saved. I want Obama to be saved. I want them all to accept Yeshua. But understand something. When we're talking about becoming president, it's not an evangelical campaign to win them to Messiah. That is our goal every day to everybody. We're looking at who is qualified to be the leader of the United States of America. And by the way, Barack Obama has also, quote unquote, accepted Jesus into his heart. I've read it on paper where he talks about his personal conversion. And you can decide for yourself, looking at the fruit of his life, pro-gay marriage, pro-forcing young girls to use the bathroom with grown men, pro all kinds of stuff that are not evangelical, but yet he says out of his mouth that he believes. And is that enough to be a believer? Listen, I've been to Africa. I've preached in front of literally tens of thousands of people, and everyone in the audience at the end would raise their hands and pray a prayer. That does not mean that they all became believers. I'm sure many of them did. Some do, some don't. Some it takes a few times. But I want to see the fruit of Donald Trump's life. There's another report where Paula White claims that they have been friends for 14 years. So, and that he called her up, and I don't even want to go into that, knowing what I know about Donald Trump, but he called her up and he, said how much her television ministry ministers to him, and they've remained friends. And I guess that means that they remain friends throughout, her divorce from Randy White, throughout her being caught in Rome with another famous televangelist, holding hands, neither of them married, sharing a private jet on the way over there. A bit of a scandal. Maybe they were friends during her most recent marriage. And if I remember correctly, the famous Paula White, very famous televangelist, when she divorced, or they got divorced, her and Randy White, it was because the Lord, and I believe I'm quoting accurately, we'll have to go back and check, was leading their ministries in different directions. Now, let me just say something about marriage. Marriage is not easy for any of us. God, you know, when we're in love, it's so great, it's wonderful. But God uses the institution of marriage really to refine us, to make us who we are. And if we give up, well, then we miss out. We miss out on what God is trying to do in our lives. But this is a woman that has been ministering, according to her, for 14 years. Now, she obviously wasn't doing a great job because, according to Dr. James Dobson, only recently did he accept Christ into his heart. And I'm not here to beat up on Donald Trump. I am not here to tell you whether or not he's saved. Only God knows that. Only God knows what is in his heart. What I do know is that he is a salesman. I do know that up until now he has been a pathological liar. Just on the pro-life issue, in 1 week, he must have had 8 different positions depending on who he was talking to. He has one interview where he disavows the white supremacist David Duke, and then a day or two later, he acts like he doesn't know him. He is pathological in his ability to look you straight in the eye and lie as if it is nothing. And listen, this is a guy who said, I am so good, I could shoot somebody on Fifth Avenue and my people would still follow me. Now that concerns me. So has he been born again? You know what? We're going to know soon enough, because I know that when I got born again, it radically changed my life. I started talking to everybody I knew about Yeshua. That is the fruit of somebody who is a believer. Things changed in my life. This is a guy who said he never has asked anybody, including God, for forgiveness. So now, if he's a truly, genuinely a born again man, he's now going to ask a lot of people. Let's start with Rosie O'Donnell, Megyn Kelly, well, him and Megyn Kelly made up. But I mean, he has been vicious, and that has been his philosophy. He's gone on record as saying that his philosophy is that if somebody hits him, to hit back as hard as he can, to be vicious, to go after vengeance. Very ungodly characteristics. But if he's now born again, great. We're going to see a brand new Donald Trump. And I know it's baby steps. I didn't, you know, I'm still growing, by the way. I am not perfect. And my wife is in the other room, and we're not going to let her in here to tell you how unperfect I am. But we're all still growing. No one's perfect. We're not going to put Donald Trump up to some crazy standard, but he should be moving from glory to glory, becoming like, we'll find out very short enough what is going on to him. So I want to know what you think about this, and these different evangelical leaders are coming to his aid. He's now got an advisory board of evangelical leaders. So I want to know what you think. So we have on the line, do we have time to take a call? We're gonna go ahead and take a call. Now, it's funny, I'm still not sure of your name, but it says here Kav. And Kav, it's interesting because in Hebrew, the word Kav actually means line, like you are on the line. So Kav, you're on the Kav. Is that your name? And Kav is gone. So let's go to Luis from Raleigh, North Carolina. Luis, you're on the Line of Fire with Ron Canner.
Hey, Ron, Luis here. How are you?
I'm great. How are you, my friend?
I'm doing well. I just wanted to call and say hello to you and blessing to you and your wife. My wife and I were at the Refuge Church Friday, and it was an awesome service.
Yes, amen. We had a fun. We talked about the background to Romans, and you can actually hear that online. So it doesn't sound like a great title, but it actually we had a lot of fun. So, Luis, what do you think about Donald Trump? They're now saying he's a believer. Can you vote for him?
I would really have to pray. I can't right now.
You can't now?
No.
But now, would you vote for Hillary Clinton?
Absolutely not.
Absolutely. So you're where a lot of folks are, where you're not, obviously you can't vote for Hillary Clinton because of all that she believes, but something doesn't bear witness about Trump, yet there is no other option. So you're not sure at this point what you're going to do. If you had to do, if you had to do something today, what would you do? If you had to vote today, what was that?
I would get on my knees and pray because I really don't know. I know as believers, we are to vote. And that is a big responsibility, but I just can't vote for someone who has been really on the other side and then flip-flops all the time.
Okay, well, we got a break coming up. Thank you so much, Luis. Good words, and we'll be back in just a few minutes.
It's the Line of Fire with your host, Dr. Michael Brown, your voice of moral, cultural, and spiritual revolution. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
It is Thoroughly Jewish Thursday on Monday, and I am your Thoroughly Jewish guest host, Ron Kanner. Very honored and blessed that my dear friend Dr. Michael Brown has asked me to fill in for him today. We've got a bunch of folks on the line. We're going to take your call in just a second. If you want to weigh in on this, just call 866-348-7884. That's 866-34-TRUTH. If you want to learn more about us, you can go to our website, messiahsmandate.org, or just go to roncan.net/15facts. Make sure the F is capitalized, and we're going to send you a free ebook. So we've been talking about Donald Trump. There's news coming out that he has accepted Christ. Now, this is a salesman by nature, and this is a guy running for office. So you tend to say what people want to hear. And so, you know, I can imagine a couple scenarios where he's like, yeah, let me pray this thing, and then, yeah, tell people. Or maybe genuinely this is a literal come-to-Jesus moment for Donald Trump. I hope so. I want him to be saved. I'm struggling believing that it's real. Only God knows the truth, and the fruit will prove itself. So let's go to Michelle in Arkansas. Michelle, you are, I want to say, in the line of fire, but you're on the line of fire.
Hey, Ron.
Hey, Michelle, how are you?
It's good to hear from you, or from you to hear from me. This is Michelle Gutman.
Yes, Michelle is a wonderful friend. He read, he's an Israeli living in Arkansas, and he read a book we wrote called Identity Theft. That's idtheftbook.com. He read that book, and a couple weeks later, you gave your heart to Yeshua, didn't you?
That's exactly what happened. I really was just calling to say thank you.
Well,
I know you're talking about Donald Trump, and boy, I can talk about Donald Trump if you want to, but let me tell you something. Identity theft changed my life. And just recently, within the last 2 weeks, I finished the Jerusalem Secret, which is phenomenal. I'm not going to give away any of the secrets in it, but what a great book.
See, I did a really bad thing. I ended Identity Theft on a cliffhanger. It was a trilogy, but I thought I was going to, I would be writing immediately. But right after we finished Identity Theft, I was asked to become the senior leader of a congregation in Tel Aviv. And that's a full-time job that I wasn't used to. So it took me 4 years to finally finish The Jerusalem Secret. It just came out in May. So you enjoyed it?
I loved it. Absolutely loved it. Do me a big favor. Don't make me wait another 4 years for the next one.
Well, we just laid hands on the new senior leader, a native-born Israeli named Gil, who is now the primary local pastor there. So I do have more time to write. I'm excited about it. And thank you so much, Michelle, for calling. And again, if you want to hear more about any of those books, just go to idtheftbook.com, or you can go to roncan.net/Kanter Books. And Linda, you are from Texas, and you're on the air with Ron Kanter, filling in for Dr. Michael Brown.
Hi, Ron. This is Linda Acosta. I pretty much bug you here and there through emails and Facebook, and I just love the work that you're doing, spreading the word.
Well, God bless you, Linda.
I was listening in, and the questions of, you know, who would we vote for? And right now, most of us don't have a straight answer because there's just there's not a whole lot of fruit to, you know, depend on. But as we teach in my congregation, is vote for the lesser evil of the two.
Right. And yeah, right now, if I had to vote today, if today were election day, I think I would go to the polls holding my nose and I would vote for Donald Trump because Hillary's just a bit scary for me after eight years of Barack Obama.
I agree with you 100% right there. I would hold my nose and I would definitely be taking him to the altar in prayer.
Well, let me ask you this. You know, the news today is through Dr. James Dobson, someone that we love and we respect, that Donald has become a believer. At least he's prayed a prayer of salvation. Does that matter to you whether or not he's a believer?
Of course it does. It really does because of the arenas that we've seen across our nation. The evilness, the darkness, the division, I want to recall something that was spoken by Obama when he first took office, that he wanted to bring the two parties closer together. He has done far from that.
Yeah,
far
that's
from that.
Well, let me ask you this. If I told you 8 years ago that and when we elected Barack Obama the first time, obviously I am conservative and I did not vote for him, but I did. I was moved that America, once an incredibly racist country, a slave-owning country, that we had an African-American, a black man, as president. Even though I totally disagreed with him on the policies, I was moved. But if I told you that 7.5 years later, that race relations, after electing an African-American president, would be worse than they were before, would you believe me?
At that point, as
yes.
much research as I did, I would have believed you, but I think a large majority would not have believed that.
I wouldn't have believed it. I wouldn't believe it. Now, later I did write an article called The Religion of Obama, which changed a lot for me. And thank you so much for your call, Linda. And I began to see his roots and the communist influence in his upbringing as a young man. And then, of course, Reverend Wright, who is nothing but a lover of Israel or even the American people. But Dan, you are on the line from Vero Beach, Florida. What do you think about all this?
Hey, Ron.
Hey, Dan.
In 1976, Rolling Stone magazine commented on Elvis Presley's death, and they said it was, quote, a good career move, unquote. And I would say that this testimony of the guy from The Apprentice, whose name we will not even mention, is another, quote, good career move, unquote.
And so you're suspect.
Oh, yeah. But this side of the grave, we will not know. That's a fact. But to all my Christian and Jewish friends, I would say this. At some point, you are going to stand before your Creator and give account for your lives. And you went in the voting booth and voted for this guy, the guy from The Apprentice, and exactly which biblical principles does he uphold? That list is real short.
You know, okay.
There is a third choice. And the Libertarian Party puts out a very good choice that works on completely the non-aggression principle, and to that, it lines up quite nicely with Zadek Tirdolf, justice, you shall always pursue.
Well, the Libertarian candidate, Gary Johnson, right? As I've researched him, he's not exactly pro-life, and for me, that is a huge issue. It's like right at the top of my issues.
Here's the thing, though. The Libertarian and Johnson himself's own position is that that would be pushed down to the state's issues, for states to decide on that issue individually. All right, it's a battle of inches, okay? We are playing the long game. We're playing till the end of time. L'Olam Bayed. We're going all the way to the end here.
So right, but that also as a
national...
As an Israeli, somebody with dual citizenship, it's important to me what America does regarding Israel, and the Libertarian position tends to be a bit isolationist. Thank you so much for your call, Dan, And we'll be back in just a minute. We've got more folks on hold, and we're going to hear from you.
It's The Line of Fire with your host, activist, author, international speaker, and theologian, Dr. Michael Brown. Your voice of moral, cultural, and spiritual revolution. Get into The Line of Fire now by calling 866-34-TRUTH. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
Hey everybody, this is Ron Canner, and I am guest hosting for Dr. Michael Brown. Very honored and blessed that Dr. Brown has asked me to be with you. We've been talking about Donald Trump. I want to mention real quick that Michelle called in from Arkansas, an Israeli, came to faith, and our office just sent me this phone number that I didn't even know existed. But if you would like to order any of our books, you can do so by phone at 800-856-7060, 800-856-7060. And we have some special deals when you get more than one. The price comes down. It is such a deal on Thoroughly Jewish. What day is it? Thursday on Monday. And so we're blessed to be back with you. And I want to mention, I am from Israel. I love living in Israel. Do not believe what the media tells you about Israel. It is one of the most amazing places. And I know that Dr. Brown in February, along with Scott Volk, they are going to be bringing a group of you to Israel. And I just want to tell you something. The price is $3,750. A small price to pay for a massive life-changing experience. We've done tours for years, and at the end of the hardest part about the most difficult thing about an Israel tour is not terrorism, because you will not see it for the most part. Tourists are never attacked. In fact, Israelis, for the most part, aren't attacked. Everything's just blown up out of proportion. The hardest part is getting people back on the airplane to go home. So what I want you to do right now, or at the break, is go to askdrbrown.org and click on the Israel tour banner and sign up for that tour. It's going to be amazing. And if we're in the country, we will definitely come say hi and spend some time with the group. Okay, we're going to spend just a little bit more time talking about Donald Trump's possible conversion, according to James Dobson. And Eileen from Wayne, New Jersey, you are on The Line of Fire.
Hi, how you doing today?
I'm great. How are you?
I'm very well, thank you. I just have a couple of things to say. One of them is, if you're not going to vote, then keep your mouth shut for the next 4 years. And as far as being a perfect candidate, obviously there are none. But all of you people who are judging Donald Trump, judge not that you be not judged, because the only perfect person...
Whoa. Hang on. I got to interrupt you right there, because as much as I love you, Eileen, you're taking that passage out of context. You have to understand... By the way, I do agree with you. If you don't vote, you lose your voice. And that's what my mother taught me from the time I was a little kid, and that's why I've always voted. But when the Bible speaks about not judging, it's not talking about elections. An election is a judgment. When Donald Trump or Hillary Clinton or Ted Cruz, for that matter,
and he's a lot better than Hillary Cruz, and the libertarian guy doesn't have.
Okay, let me finish my thought. When Donald Trump said, "I want to be president," he is saying, "My life is an open book. Judge me worthy or not worthy." So it is not correct, and I've heard it from a lot of different people, and it really has to, they don't say it about anybody else. They don't say it about Hillary. You know, Eileen, would you call up and say, don't judge Hillary Clinton?
People are judging her. She's getting away with all the fraud and Benghazi and everything else.
But should we judge her? Should she be held to account?
If you're going to judge somebody like that, that's like you're saying, it's not that I'm taking it out of context, fine, then judge all of them. But don't judge whether or not he should be president based on his personal life, because you know what? Roe v. Wade's been around for a long time, and a lot of Christian women have had abortions.
Okay.
That has nothing to do with running the country. Running the country is somebody like Donald Trump, who was a businessman. They can put us back on track and put people back to work and get rid of the illegal immigrants. More power to him.
Okay, so let's talk about his success as a businessman. He's filed bankruptcy several times, and we know Hillary Clinton came out a week ago and talked about the fact that he hires contractors and then did not pay them and then offered them 30 cents on the dollar, and that has been fact checked, that he literally did that. Is that a guy that we want running our country? Do you want someone who is not an honest businessman running a country? And I'm so sorry, Eileen, we got to go to break, but thank you so much for calling.
It's The Line of Fire with your host, Dr. Michael Brown. Get into The Line of Fire now by calling 866-34-TRUTH. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
Are you dancing yet? Are you getting your doing your hora, the Jewish circle dance? Love that music. That's great. I'm Ron Kanter filling in for Dr. Michael Brown. It is so great to be with you today. You know, I've known Dr. Brown. We've been talking about Donald Trump, though, for a little bit. Let me just take a break from that. I've known Dr. Brown for a long time, since I met him in New York City when I was put in touch with him through a mutual friend, and he helped coach me through a time when some rabbis were seeking to talk me out of my faith. I always thought that was kind of interesting, that I made a decision based on prayer, research, no pressure from anybody to accept Yeshua into my life. And we have a book that we wrote about that. I'm Jewish. You can get that as well at roncan.net/canterbooks. I think that's what it's called. roncan.net/canterbooks. But it's called Leave Me Alone, I'm Jewish, because my best friend, Brian McRae, who I hope is listening, he began to share the gospel with me. He became a radical believer when we were in high school, 18 years old, and began to share with me about Yeshua. And he actually eventually provoked me to jealousy when he said, I asked him if his life was better now that he received Yeshua, Jesus. And he looked at me and he said, I know God. And when he did, Romans 11:11, salvation has come to the nations to provoke Israel to jealousy. He provoked me to jealousy, and in the end, I actually ended up coming to faith. But I've had some fun times with Dr. Brown over the years. I remember one time we were driving to New York City. He was preaching at Times Square Church, I believe, and it was freezing outside. And you know, Dr. Brown is a genius, but if you're as smart as he is, the Lord has to make some areas of your life that you're just not, you know, all that smart, so he would not become conceited. Like, for instance, one time my heart was heavy. I don't know what I was going through. I just had to talk to him, and I walk into his basement, and he's building a shelf system, and he takes a, you know what an Allen wrench is, and then the little screw that goes with the Allen wrench, and he puts the screw in there, and then he grabs a hammer. he's gonna hammer it in. And I said, Mike, what are you doing? And he said, oh, no, this is a special kind of hammer or nail. I said, no, it goes with an Allen wrench. It's probably in the IKEA box. And we were fortunately able to do that together. And one time we're driving to New York City, and it's freezing. It is so cold. And he turns on the heat on high until he was too hot, and then he would just turn it off. And then it would get cold, and he would turn it on high. And then once he was hot, he would turn it off. And I finally said, you do know that you can regulate the temperature so we don't have to be going hot, cold, hot, cold. And I said, no, I get it. You are such a man of God, Dr. Brown, that you refuse to be lukewarm. You are a radical. You're either going to be completely freezing or completely hot. And we've had some fun times over the year playing tennis. Every year we lived in Maryland for a long time. And we went back and forth. We would probably play 7 or 8 times a year tennis during the winter, by the way. And at the end of the year, whoever was winning was the champion of the, and we're super competitive. So we would go out in like 28 degree weather and play tennis. And you know how like normal people warm up? Well, we're both ridiculously competitive that we would like hit the ball once or twice and say, you ready? Yeah, you ready? Because it's like, who's got time to warm up? So a little bit of fun that we've had over the years. I have enjoyed not just my friendship, but Mike has been a mentor and has really, you know what? As a writer and as a blogger, probably one of the greatest privileges that I have in my life, that I can literally be stuck as I'm writing and send an email to the foremost Messianic scholar in the world, and he gets back to me within minutes. It's like your own personal Google. So we love Dr. Brown and so blessed to be here. And I see that Patrick is calling from the island of Barbados. Patrick, you are on the line of fire.
Hey, good afternoon, Ron. How are you doing?
I'm great, Patrick. How are you?
I'm well.
What have you got to say about Donald Trump?
Well, I would like to say that this discussion will probably land the presidency in the hands of Hillary Clinton. Why do I say that? Because, well, I'm not a regular listener to the program. In fact, I'm listening because I received an email from you, Ron, and I happened to tune into the program today.
Right.
But I haven't heard any discussion on Hillary. I don't know if you've had any discussion on her before.
Well, let me be real clear with you. And by the way, if this radio show right now changes the election, then I am actually quite a bit more powerful than I ever thought. I don't think we'll have that impact, but I want to be clear. I will never vote for Hillary Clinton. She is a liar. She is a criminal. I won't call her Crooked Hillary, although I sometimes hear that in my mind as I'm going throughout my day. But she, her and her husband, I do agree with Donald Trump, and his speech last week was phenomenal when he talked about her being the most corrupt person to ever run for president. I would agree with that. What the way she is treated, you know, on the one side of her mouth, she says every victim of sexual abuse, of rape, should be believed. But she should have said, except when it's my husband that's being accused, because she has ruined women who have accused her husband. So again, if you know me and you know the whole of what I believe today, we're right now talking about the news that James Dobson is reporting that Donald Trump has received the Lord. So that's why we're talking, but I will never vote for Hillary Clinton. And I think, you know what, Donald Trump made a great speech last week. You should all go back and hear it when he spoke about Hillary. I think his one problem is this, is that he sometimes, like, for instance, if I were going to say something about Muslims in America, here's what I would say. I would say regarding the immigration of Muslims, we need to put a freeze on allowing people, Muslims from Syria and Iraq, from coming into America. We need to do a better job of vetting. We are not against Islam. From a religious point of view, I am, but we're not against Muslims. We're not against the people. We need to be very careful. Obviously, academics coming in, that wouldn't be in other words, there was a way that Donald Trump could have said that could have been more palatable than to simply say, we need to ban all Muslims. Because we don't need to ban all Muslims. Go ahead.
But no, I think he has modified that recently.
But like 2 months later, he needs to be sharp enough. Listen, this guy's a professional communicator. He's a great salesman. When he talked about in his first speech, his very first speech back a year ago now, in Trump Towers, I'm listening to it, and part of me is actually being inspired by some of the things he's saying. And then he talks about Mexico sending in they're rapists. Now, I do not believe that the Mexican government is around. Hey, can we find our rapists? We want you to go to this way. If you're a rapist, we're going to help you get to America. But that's what it sounded like he was saying. All he had to say is, hey, listen, some of the people that are illegally coming over here are criminals, and we've got to do whatever we can to stop that. Anyways, Patrick, thank you.
Okay.
Go ahead. Finish with this.
What I'm saying is that this discussion will, it seems like, discourage some Christians from voting for Trump. They're not going to vote for Hillary. And if they don't vote for Trump, they're not going to vote at all. And what I'm saying is that will hand the presidency to her. Because
you may be right.
Not vote for one person is to vote for the other.
I agree with you. And I think that, but everyone's got to follow their own conscience. That's a valid opinion. What you're saying is a vote. A non-vote is a vote for Hillary Clinton. Thank you so much for your Patrick. I got to go to other callers, but thank you so much for calling in. Joan, you are on the Lawn of Fire. You had a thought about Trump?
Hi, Ron. Love you, guy. Some of the things I'd like to know about the candidates, not just Trump, is how they define sin. Do they look at it as breaking God's perfect moral law? Do they talk about repentance and then trusting in Jesus as paying
our
debt?
Trump has actually answered that question for us in an interview with Frank Luntz, and he does not blurly believe in sin. He believes that you make a mistake, you just do better the next time. He doesn't believe in that. He does not believe. Again, this is before James Dobson's report. Maybe he's had a change of heart. I don't know. I hope so. But that was his position when Frank Luntz asked asked him point blank, have you asked God for forgiveness? And he was, no, you know, you make mistakes, you move on. We'll try and get the audio of that so we can accurately portray what he said. No, I don't think up until his supposed conversion that he looks in issues of sin and righteousness. More, how can I make a profit? How can I do well? And to be honest with you, I'm not looking for a pastor in chief. That I don't think to be president, to be a good president, that you have to be born again and up praying. I prefer it. But my bigger issues are, where do you stand on the issues? Where do you stand on pro-life? Where do you stand on the nation of Israel? These are the issues that are important to me. We'll be back in just a minute with more of The Line of Fire.
It's The Line of Fire with your host, Dr. Michael Brown, your voice of moral, cultural, and spiritual revolution. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
My people are so smart. And you know what else they say about my people? The polls. They say, I have the most loyal people. Did you ever see that? Where I could stand in the middle of Fifth Avenue and shoot somebody and I wouldn't lose any voters, okay? It's like incredible.
That is incredible. That is incredible. Sadly, he may be correct about that, but who talks like that? And I know Trump is a different kind of candidate, and that's part of his appeal. We're going to take one more call on Donald Trump, and then we're going to move towards Israel. Frida, I see that you're on hold, and we're going to get to your call just in just a minute. But, Brian, the last word of the day on Donald Trump. What have you got to say?
Okay, well, thank you for taking my call. I just wanted to say that what I'm discerning, and you know, this isn't, you know, the angels coming down, you know, give me, but I discern Barack Obama pretty well. I beg people in the church not to vote for him, not once but twice. Everything he's done, he hasn't disappointed me, and I mean that in a backhanded way. I expected it, but I just want to say this. From what I can see now, if Hillary Clinton, and this goes out to all the Christians who are going to not vote and whatever, and vote for third parties, fourth parties, what I can see is, and she said this herself, she gets in, this is probably the last call for America as we know it. It's not going to be the America that I grew up in anymore. You're going to lose, and we're on the verge of losing freedom of speech right now, freedom of religion. You're going to lose the Second Amendment. You're going to, she said she's going to open up the borders of the southern of Mexico and let those people in. Now, if I was one of them, I'd want to get in too.
Right. Well, Brian, that's let me jump in here, Brian. I don't necessarily disagree with you. I recently wrote a free ebook that's on Amazon.com called A Wake Up Call for America, where I basically document what has happened in the past 8 years.
Right.
And I don't know that she's going to be any different from Barack Obama. So again, I said it earlier, if I had to vote today, I would hold my nose and vote for Donald Trump. And I would pray, because you know what? He might end up being a great president. He might end up being a horrible president. Here's what I'm sure about Hillary Clinton. She will be a horrible president. So thank you so much, Brian, for your call. And we want to switch gears just a little bit and talk about Israel. My name is Ron Cantor. I am from Tel Aviv, a very good friend of Dr. Michael Brown for many, many years, about 30 years now. And when we're talking about the United States elections, we're, as an Israeli, I have dual citizenship. I am very concerned regarding how America acts towards Israel, because Barack Obama has been horrible regarding Israel. He has treated our prime minister in the most disrespectful way. And he came into the Middle East when he was elected and was like, hey, I'm going to be the anti-Bush and everyone's going to love me. I grew up in Indonesia. I get the Muslim world. I'm going to go to Cairo. I'm going to make a speech. They're going to love me. I'm going to get the Nobel Peace Prize, $1 million in my pocket. And you know what? By the time I get out, the Middle East is going to be a different place. And you know what, Mr. Obama? It is a different place. It is full of terrorism and violence. You know what? It used to be that when you heard of a bombing or a terrorist attack, you knew it was in Tel Aviv or Jerusalem. Now you're pretty sure it's in the Middle East, or even now you're pretty sure it's in Europe or America. And I believe that is the result of the policies of not only Barack Obama, but the weak European Union. Frida, you wanted to talk about Israel. You are on the line of fire. Hi, Frida. Are you there, Frida?
Yes.
What would you like to share, Fried, about Israel?
Well, just one question. Was there a land of Israel before there was a man or a nation of Israel, people called Israel?
Well, Abraham was the first Hebrew, or the first Israelite, if you will, and God said to Abraham, who was living in Ur of the Chaldeans, Babylon at the time, he said in Genesis chapter 12, verses 1 through 3, I'm going to take you from your land, I'm going to let you go to this other land where I'm leading. It's a famous Israeli saying, Lech Lecha, you know, get up and go, leave this area, and he takes him to the land of the Canaanites, and he says, I'm going to give you this land to you and your seed forever. And Dr. Yeah. Brown likes to say that because he's a Hebrew scholar. I speak modern Hebrew pretty good, but he's a biblical Hebrew scholar. And he likes to say that the actual Hebrew for forever in that verse actually means forever. So okay. That was actually a joke, but, it started with Abraham at God's calling, and he took them to the land of Canaan, and he said, I'm giving this land to you. So that's how Israel became a nation.
Okay. Right. That was my simple question.
Okay. Well, thank you so much for calling. If you'd like to call in and join the conversation, we will talk a little bit about Israel right now. 866-348-7884. That's 866-348-7884. And I want to mention, if you've never been to Israel, you must go. You can wait for Yeshua to come back, and he's going to set up his kingdom in Jerusalem, as the Bible says in Zechariah 14, and the nations will go there, and they will celebrate the Jewish feast, the biblical feast called the Feast of Tabernacles Sukkot. You can wait for that. It's going to be awesome. It's going to be the most amazing multicultural worship experience this world has ever known, when we actually physically worship Yeshua in front of us. It's going to be amazing. But if you don't want to wait, you need to come to Israel. I have led so many tours over the years. And you ever gone on a vacation and you were so excited? You the weeks go by and you just can't wait. You're tired. Work is hard. And you get to the vacation and then it ends. And it just wasn't as fun as the hype made it out to be. That will not happen in Israel. I can almost guarantee, I say almost guarantee because there's always someone out there to sue you. I can almost guarantee you that if you go to Israel with Dr. Brown and Scott Volk in February, your life is going to be radically changed. I have taken so many people to Israel, and the hardest part is getting them back on the airplane to go home, because it's so much fun every day. The Sea of Galilee, floating in the Dead Sea, going in to Jerusalem and the Old City, praying at the Western Wall. It's really, really amazing. And you know what? I'm going to go out on a limb. I will meet you. If you come with Scott and Dr. Brown, I will meet you there at least for one night, have some time to share together, meet together. If I'm in the country, if I'm not in the country, there's not much you can do. I should be there, but go to AskDrBrown.org. AskDrBrown.org and just click on the Israel banner. You're going to meet other believers there as well, other Israeli believers. You know, let me just say this. One of the pet peeves I have with Israel tours today is that they take you simply to a museum of the past. And that's cool. I mean, seeing the Sea of Galilee, you know, having your devotions on the very place where Yeshua walked and discipled and ministered, walked on the water and calmed the way. It is awesome. But I want to tell you, friends, there are living stones, not just dead stones, but living stones. And 99.9% of people who go to Israel to visit, they never meet the living stones. They never meet the believers. They see where Yeshua walked, but they don't see where he's walking today. So I want to encourage you, if you want to see where Yeshua is walking today, go to AskDrBrown.org and sign up for, just get more information, read about the itinerary. And we're going to be hearing from Scott Volk later in the next hour talking. We'll get him to talk a little bit about the trip, but you want to come. Hey, listen, we made it an hour. We've been an hour on the air, subbing in for my good friend Dr. Brown. Stick around for the next hour. We're going to talk about Brexit, Israel, all kinds of stuff. See you in a few minutes.
Please welcome to the Line of Fire microphones for the very first time hosting the Line of Fire, Ron Cantor.
It's time for The Line of Fire with your host, activist, author, international speaker, and theologian, Dr. Michael Brown, your voice of moral, cultural, and spiritual revolution. Michael Brown is the director of the Coalition of Conscience and president of Fire School of Ministry. Get into The Line of Fire now by calling 866-34-TRUTH. That's 866-34-TRUTH. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
Tel Aviv l'Yerushalayim, Shalom v'mishamayim, Ana zifu et ha'ayim.
Hey everybody, I am not activist and author and theologian and your moral voice or whatever else Dr. Brown is, but I sure like to play one on the radio. And today you are with Ron Cantor, and I am from Israel, and I'm so blessed that Dr. Michael Brown has entrusted me with his microphone today. What fun we had on the first hour. We've got another hour ahead of us. In fact, you know what, Matt? I might just stay here all day long. I don't care if we go off the air. This is a blast. I want you to call me at 866-34-TRUTH. That's 866-348-7884. Again, my name is Ron Cantor. I am from Tel Aviv, Israel, and up until about 2 weeks ago, I pastored a congregation called Tiferet Yeshua, the Glory of Yeshua, a Hebrew-speaking only congregation reaching out to native-born Israelis with the good news of Yeshua. And I say until recently, because we laid hands on a wonderful, amazing native-born Hebrew speaker, Gil Afriat, who is now our leader over there. I'm still very much a part of the congregation. We work as a team. We kind of interchange places from time to time. We're still very much involved there. And if you want to know more about us, just go to my website, roncantor.com. While you're there, you can learn about our book, Identity Theft, and our newest book, which is called The Jerusalem Secret. They actually are part of a trilogy, a novel about the Jewish roots of the faith. We heard last hour from Michelle, an Israeli who read Identity Theft and actually came to faith. And if you want to read Identity Theft, just go to idtheftbook.com and you can read more about that there. And if you want a free book called The 15 Most Important Facts That You Need to Know About the Israeli-Palestinian Conflict, go to roncan.net/15facts. Make sure that the F is capitalized. So yeah, about, 13 years ago in 2003, I moved to Israel. Isn't that crazy? I remember landing in Israel. My wife is a native-born Israeli, but I remember landing in Israel with my beautiful wife and my precious three children, and I thought, what have I done? Am I crazy? Am I nuts? The day before, I was in Newark, New Jersey, staying in the hotel the night before our flight, and my mother calls up. I'm now taking her three grandkids to, I don't know, a place where people blow each other up. And so I called her up from on the phone and, hey, Mom, you all right? She literally could not talk to me because of her tears. And she ended up hanging up the phone. And I felt like the worst son in the world. But now we're landing in Israel. It's the next day. We're landing in the nation of Israel. Our new life is about to begin. I got a 14-year-old, an 11-year-old, a 9-year-old, and a 38-year-old plus me. And we were all incredibly depressed. Yes, depressed. We were thinking, what in the world have we done? I remember getting in the car, driving to our apartment where we'd be staying. We didn't even have our own apartment yet. And I, what have you done, Ron? And I began to think, maybe, just maybe, this was a test. Maybe, it's like Abraham and Isaac. God just wanted to see if I was willing. And now we get to turn around and go back to the airport. And I can go back to America. And then I can write all my supporters and say, praise God, it was just a test. Please keep supporting us. But we're back in America. But you know what I did? Rather than doing that, I went and took a nap. We all took naps. And I woke up and I said to myself, I said to my kids, I said, you know what, kids? This is our life now. So you better get used to it. And then I found my wife. I said the same thing to my wife. And then I got alone and I said, hey, Ron, you know what? This is your life now. Get used to it. Went to bed, woke up, never looked back. See you in just a few minutes on The Line of Fire.
God of light, hear our cry, send the fire. It's The Line of Fire with your host, Dr. Michael Brown, your voice of moral, cultural, and spiritual revolution. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
Welcome to Thoroughly Jewish Thursday on Monday, special Monday edition. I am Ron Kanner, guest hosting for my dear friend Dr. Michael Brown, and we are just blessed to be with you today. And let's take a few calls. We've got Yelena from New York on the line. Yelena, go ahead.
Hello, Pastor. I just want to encourage you. Thank you for everything you're doing for Israel and America, and especially being a witness of Jesus Christ, of all these things that God is doing through you. And it's a blessing and encouragement to me because I heard your message about forgiveness and about prayer, and it's encouraged me tremendously.
Oh, man. Well, thank you so much, Yelena. And we've got Kyle on the line, wants to talk. Well, I'll let you tell us. I'm not sure I understand this. Kyle, you're from Oakland, California, and you're in the line of fire, or on the line of fire. Be careful if you're in Oakland that you're not in the line of fire. Go ahead, Kyle. And Kyle is not ready. Okay, well, as he's getting ready, we got another call coming in. I want to talk to you for a minute about the United Nations. You ever heard of the United Nations? They're this group in, they actually meet in our country or in your country, New York, and they're not real pro-Israel. I don't know if you've noticed that, but the UN chief recently, his name is Ban Ki-moon. He's from South Korea, and he made a comment the other day. He said, do not allow the extremism on either side to fuel the Israeli-Palestinian conflict. He said this at Tel Aviv University. You know what, Ban Ki-moon? Why don't you go down into Gaza and say that? I don't know why you got to come to Tel Aviv University and make this comment. Go to Gaza. Go to Ramallah. He goes on to say, Palestinians and Israelis, leaders must remember, I'm sorry, must stand firm against violence, terror, and incitement. Stabbings, bombings, and shootings will not achieve anything because violence is never a solution. That's like going to the police and lecturing them on the dangers of drug abuse and drug dealing. Do you understand? Israel's not the problem. We've wanted peace for a long, long, long time. We're not stabbing people in the street. It doesn't make sense for you, Mr. Ban Ki-moon, to come to Israel, to Tel Aviv University, and to wag your finger at us and tell us that stabbings, bombings, and shootings will not achieve anything. Because you know what? We're not stabbing anybody. We're not bombing anybody. And on the rare, and we're not shooting anybody. Yes, there is the rare, rare, rare occurrence that a frustrated Jewish person does something horribly wrong, horribly stupid against a Palestinian. But the Palestinians are acting against Israelis like me and my family every single day. There is a stabbing, just in the Sirona market. About a week ago, I guess a little bit more than a week ago, this is a place where I eat with my family. Two gunmen dressed up as Orthodox Jews ended up opening fire on people who were doing the most horrible thing that you can imagine, enjoying the evening and eating. And they killed four people. So I don't know why, Mr. United Nations leader, that you're coming to Israel to lecture us, because really, you need to be lecturing the Palestinians. But wait, you go on to saying that the, let's read here. He was calling for the establishment of the Palestinian state, and he condemned the occupation. Really? You want to condemn the occupation? You know who else condemns the occupation? I do. There was never a reason for the occupation. It's too bad that Egypt and Syria and Jordan made a pact together in 1967 to destroy Israel. Because if they had not made a pact together to destroy Israel, and instead they said, you know what? We recognize you as this tiny little sliver of real estate called the Jewish state. We recognize you. We welcome you into the community of nations. If they had done that, there would be no occupation. If in 1948, when Israel became a nation and said to the Arab world, just, and we were half the nation that we're all today, geographically, if they had just said, hey, let us, you know, be friends with us, you know? Let's make up a peace. And I said, no. We'll stop the war with you, but we're never going to make peace with you. Then there never would have been an occupation. The only reason that that Israel controls Jerusalem, the Golan Heights, that controls, doesn't control Gaza anymore. You remember, we gave that back. The only reason we control that is because the Arab belligerent nations would not make peace with Israel. So in 1967, when we were about to be attacked, Gamal Nasser went in. Now, follow me. Don't lose me here. I want you to stay with me here. When Gamal Nasser, the president of Egypt, in 1967, and I hope Ban Ki-moon is listening. I believe he's a listener to the show. Hopefully he'll call in. I would love to debate you one-on-one, Mr. Moon, but probably not going to happen. But what happened in 1967 is Gamal Nasser, the president of Egypt, he said to the UN peacekeeping troops that were between Israel in Egypt, in the Sinai Desert, it was called the greatest peacekeeping mission in the history of the world. He said, get out. And you know what the greatest peacekeeping mission in the history of the world did? They got out. They packed out. Okay, we're out of here. And then he lined up on the border, put his armies on the border with Israel, Syria in the north, Jordan coming from Jerusalem. And we had no choice but to attack, because we knew that if we did not start the war, it would be Israel's last war. And so on June 5th, 1967, we destroyed the Egyptian Air Force, the Syrian Air Force, and we actually ended up, and then this is amazing part of it. This is the amazing part of it. We had no plan to take Jerusalem. Now, we had New Jerusalem, but we didn't have the old city, and we didn't have the West Bank. That was not part of the plan. And we actually sent word to Jordan, do not attack us, and we will not attack you. You know what happened? Because part of Arab warfare, and this is not racism, this is literally part of Arab warfare, is that you lie. You say you're winning when you're not winning, so your soldiers don't run away. That's why the intelligence chief, remember that guy in Iraq who would talk about the fact that they were routing the Americans and taking the airport, and the exact opposite was happening? He was doing what you do. I remember in the first Gulf War, there was a report that came out that 50 Iraqi tanks were destroyed by the Egyptian Air Force. And I remember laughing because I know the area of the world. And I thought, let's see if we ever get any confirmation. It never happened, because that's how you fight war. And so the king of Jordan, see, he apparently didn't know that. And so he listened to the hype on the radio that Egypt was getting ready to march into Tel Aviv, when in fact Israel had taken the entire Sinai Desert. And had he not attacked from Jerusalem, there would be no East Jerusalem issue. There would be no West Bank issue. But the king of Jordan, he wanted more territory. So he attacked from Jerusalem. And within 2 days, we pushed him and his troops back over the Jordan River. And suddenly, Israel had its heart back again. I can't apologize for that. If you're going to try and kill me, I'm going to defend myself. Now, if you want to learn more about that, we've got a lot of great videos on this. We did a series on this. Go to Reach Tel Aviv on YouTube. Go to YouTube.com and then just enter in Reach Tel Aviv. We did a whole series on our YouTube channel on this subject. You can get more information on that. And let's take a call now on the line of fire. Lynn from Texas, you are on the line of fire.
Ron, I just want to tell you, I'm so proud of you for stepping out. And I know how scary that is, except when God tells you, you go. And I've just followed you, and I loved you back at BRSM, and I'm in awe.
Well, keep going. You're doing great.
You've accomplished so much. And the time that you've been there, I'm just so very proud of you and all that God is doing with you and through you and for you and your family.
Well, like Paul said, I am what I am by the grace of God. I just want to make sure that I use all the grace that he's given me. Thank you so much, Lynn. That is so unbelievably encouraging. So it is 3:16 on the line of fire, and we have got another 45 minutes. When we come back from the break, we're going to hear from my good friend, one of my closest friends, Scott Volk, who's going to be leading a tour with Dr. Brown to Israel, and we're going to have some fun with him. But yeah, like Lynn said, we moved to Israel in 2003, and It was hard. It was real hard in the beginning for my poor kids. God bless them. You know, they tell me now, thank you so much, Daddy, you know, and Mommy, that you took us to Israel when you did. But it wasn't always so easy when we were in Israel. There were some difficult times, and they had to learn to hold their own. I didn't speak the language. And so my wife had to do everything regarding schoolwork and this. I did everything in America because English is not her first language, but I didn't speak any Hebrew. And so I said, well, I'm going to take 2 years off, and I'm going to learn Hebrew, and I'm going to preach up a storm. And 7 years later, I finally preached my first message in Hebrew, 7 years after moving there. So I died a lot of deaths. And I said to the Lord one time, I said, can't you do that matrix thing where you just put something in the back of my head and I just get Hebrew? Wouldn't that be wonderful? And the Lord spoke to me, and he said, yes, I could. Not that he would put a thing in my head, but he said, I could give it to you supernaturally. But you're learning more than just Hebrew. You're learning humility, how to die to self, and so much more. We'll see you in a few more minutes on The Line of Fire.
Join Dr. Michael Brown along with Messianic Jewish pastor Scott Volk for a unique behind-the-scenes tour of Israel, February 25th through March 6, 2017. Space is limited, so we're accepting applications on a first-come, first-served basis. For more information on the trip and to secure your spot, please visit our website at AskDrBrown.org and click on the Israel Tour banner or call our office at 704-782-3760.
It's The Line of Fire with your host, Dr. Michael Brown. Get into The Line of Fire now by calling 866-34-TRUTH. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
Brother was born Yeshua from the kingly tribe of Judah. Came the promise ruler, brought truth and gave sight to the blind and strength to the lame.
Yeah. Uh-huh. Uh-huh. That is me off of my brand new album, my brand new rap album that's coming out very soon. You will never actually be able to get that because I don't rap. I'm not very good. But, you know, I recognize that. Who was that, Matt? Can you write that up there? Chazakim. That means strong. And, you know, I was listening to that ad for the Israel tour, and I thought, wait a minute. I know that voice. I know that. Is that Nancy Brown? No, it's not Nancy, but it sounds like Mike's wife. It's Robin, Nancy's sister, and there she is right there. Hey, Robin, great to see you. So speaking of Israel, we live in Israel. We're so blessed. You want to learn more about us, go to messiahsmandate.org and get all kinds of free stuff. But I have on the line with me right now a very special guest. You know him because he normally actually fills in for Dr. Brown, and that is Messianic pastor, Jewish believer, soon to be author, singer, wedding dancer, Scott Volk.
Dude, you are dangerous behind that microphone.
I'm like a kid in a candy shop. Like I'm going to take the mic literally in that we had to drive back to Richmond. I'm just going to put it in, you know, on the dashboard and just keep it going.
I've been listening on hold, dude. You're like a total natural. Dr. Brown is going to flip out when he hears this.
Well, I don't know. With what I said about Donald Trump in the beginning, he might be my last time. We'll see. So, Scott, you had an experience a few years ago. You're Jewish. You're actually, unlike me, you were actually raised as a Jewish believer. And you started taking groups to Israel a few years ago. Talk to me about that.
Yeah, well, actually, bro, it was a little bit of a it was a desire that I had to go on a tour. I never thought my life would be changed as a result of going, but in 2005, I brought my first group over there. It was mostly young people from our school of ministry. And when I went over, not only did I want to make sure that everybody saw the biblical sites, but one thing that was really important to me was that our group got an opportunity to taste life on the ground. So one of the things that I made sure that we did was we went to an army base and we served there. I think we folded special uniforms all day long in a shack. And then we went to an underprivileged children's center.
Wow.
And Ron, I'm telling you, it was the fact that we were able to see abject poverty among Jewish children whose parents were either separated or drug addicts or living on the streets. It was really an incredible thing, and it was then and there that I really felt like I was supposed to do something practically and tangibly for the people of Israel, and that's how we started our nonprofit organization.
So what you're telling me is that you and Dr. Brown want to take people, you want them to spend $37.50, that's $3,750, to go fold laundry? Because I can do that right here in North Carolina.
Actually, I know that all of Dr. Brown's listeners would gladly do that, but not only will they not be folding laundry trip, brother.
Before you tell us what else they're going to do, I want to say something, though.
Yes.
It is amazing what happens when you go to another nation and you spend your money or you raise support and you go to another nation and you do something that you do every single day in your house, which is to fold laundry, but you're doing it as an act of service. I'll be honest with you, I would rather do that than be on a beach in Hawaii because it changes who you are. Hey, Scott, can I do this? Can I get you to call back in? We've got really bad audio. So I'm going to go ahead and let you go. I want you to call back and tell us about Together for Israel. And we've also got some fun stories that we're going to share. My name is Ron Cantor. I am filling in for Dr. Michael Brown today. I am from Tel Aviv and just happened to be in Charlotte, North Carolina today. And what do you think about this Brexit thing? It's like a new word now. We're all saying Brexit, Britain exiting. And, you know, Britain has now exited is in the midst of exiting the European Union. And I have to be honest with you, I'm kind of excited about that because the European Union has been no friend to Israel. I mean, they're blind when it comes to Islamic terrorism. I mean, they're just completely in left field when it comes to the dangers. And President Obama, he actually went to Britain a few months ago, and he, you know, listen, I'm used to having him wag his finger at us and telling us that Christians are horrible people too, and there was the Crusades and the Inquisitions, and he's great, the Harvard professor, he's really good with the finger wagging, and I guess you can do that to your own people that put you in office. But man, do you want to go to Britain and do that? Do you want to go to Britain and say, hey, if you leave the European Union, then when it comes to trade, you're going to the back of the queue. He even used the word queue, which means line, because that's the word that they would use. So, you know, I'm kind of, is that Scott we have back on? Matt, is that Scott we have back? That's just somebody blinking. I'm not sure who that is. Okay. But you know what? It is Scott. And then it says no. Oh, no. What am I going to do? Okay. I'm going to keep going. I think Scott will be back with us shortly. But listen, I thought it was the height of arrogance for a U.S. president to go to Britain and not just say, hey, this is how I feel, but to basically wag his finger at them and tell them what they're about to do is wrong. You know, what kind of president goes to another nation and rebukes that nation? Other than maybe Bibi Netanyahu about a year ago when he came to America and he went before Congress and basically rebuked the president. But it was different. It was different because he wasn't wagging his finger at the United States of America the way that President Obama did Great Britain. What he was doing was saying, hey, this is insane. You can't let Iran get the bomb. And you know what? Iran is going to eventually get the bomb if they're not stopped. He was pleading, and he came at the invitation of our Congress. So now you have Great Britain that they're leaving the European Union. And the question a lot of folks are asking is, did Barack Obama's interference swing the vote towards leaving? The very exact opposite thing that he wanted to do. And I've heard folks say, no, that's crazy, that's ridiculous. I don't think it's ridiculous because the vote margin was 2%. So if there was just 2 out of every 100 folks from the UK that were annoyed at the fact that a U.S. president who has failed in his foreign policy, absolutely failed, and we're going to bring Scott back in on the next segment, but who has absolutely failed in his foreign policy. He has failed in Libya. He has failed in Egypt. They're still supporting the Muslim Brotherhood over the democratically elected government over there because they did the common sense thing, the general of the army, and he got rid of the Muslim Brotherhood, realizing that they had elected fanatics. So I think that it's very possible that this failed president offended enough Brits that he swung the election. We're going to be with Scott Volk in just a minute.
It's The Line of Fire with your host, activist, author, international speaker, and theologian, Dr. Michael Brown. Your voice of moral, cultural, and spiritual revolution. Get into The Line of Fire now by calling 866-34-TRUTH. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
Well, I am sorry to disappoint you. I am not Dr. Michael Brown. I'm his friend Ron Cantor from Israel. And if you want to learn more about us, just go to our website, roncantor.com. We blog, we do videos. We have a YouTube channel called Reach Tel Aviv, and we also do tours to Israel. And speaking of tours to Israel, I was speaking earlier with my friend Scott Volk, who normally would be in this seat guest hosting for Dr. Brown. And Scott, where were we? I forgot. We had a bad connection.
We were talking about folding laundry, I think, and you said you'd rather fold laundry than be on a beach in Hawaii.
Yeah, I hope nobody actually heard that. I'm re-doubting. No, when you serve, when you go on a mission trip, when you serve the hurting, it is better and more fulfilling than how you can fulfill yourself with entertainment. Wouldn't you agree?
I would wholeheartedly agree, bro, and I can't think of a place to serve that would be more rewarding than serving in Israel. I think it's great to serve anywhere in any country, but I think it's incredible that God actually blesses and curses based on how we treat Israel. So when we have an opportunity to go to Israel and actually serve the believers over there and the lost and the poor and needy, I say that it pleases the heart of God and it ends up being a huge blessing for us.
Right. And like I was saying earlier, your tours, you're not just seeing the dead stones. You're also meeting the living stones. You can go on any tour and see Jerusalem, the Galilee, and it's great. It's amazing. But you're actually going to be hearing from Israeli leaders, messianic leaders, believers. Tell us a little bit about that.
Yeah. So what we try to do is we try to go to all the places that typically a tour would go to. What I'm really excited about this tour with Dr. Brown is, number one, that Dr. Brown is physically going to be there, and he's going to be speaking at various sites. We're going to be able to have our dinners together with Dr. Brown. We're going to have evening meetings with believers in the land that people will come be able to come.
Scott, is there going to be any competitive sports with Dr. Brown? Because the Dr. Brown I know can't go more than 24 hours without creating some sort of a competitive game. We created a game. Actually, he invented it, but it was called Bible Pride.
Bible Pride.
You've never played
okay,
Bible
tell
Pride?
Us about it.
Oh, it's unbelievable. What you do is you point to any verse in the Bible, and you get 1 point if you know the book, 1 point for the chapter, 1 point for the verse. And I even created a tagline. It's Bible Pride. When you win, you lose. Because if you win, you get proud and you actually lose. And I will say that he beat me every single time, except once when me and my friend J.B. Bernstein, I needed help from another Jewish believer. And it was Romans 11 was the scripture that got it. You had to get to 21. But so he'll be doing competitive games like that, I imagine, with the team. See, one of the things that folks don't know about Dr. Brown is he's a theologian, he's an activist, but he's also a lot of fun.
Dr. Brown is a lot of fun, and bro, I got to tell you, do we have time to tell a story or two?
Let's try. If the music starts, then that's life. But give it a try.
When the music starts. One of my favorite Dr. Brown stories is this: not only does he know the Bible backwards and forwards, but he also claims to know every restaurant in every terminal in the Atlanta airport. So we were actually flying through Atlanta, and Dr. Brown looks at me and he goes, "Where do you want to have lunch, bro?" And I said, "I'm not sure. What's in this terminal?" So here's what he said, Ron. He goes, "Well, we're here. We've got Sparrow's restaurant, Sparrow's pizza or whatever. We've got... some Chinese restaurant." And then he goes, "Or we can go to Chick-fil-A." And I said, I said, "Bro, it's Chick-fil-A." He said, "Bro, it's Chick-fil-A." I said, "Mike, listen, it's Chick-fil-A." He goes, "Bro, it's Chick-fil-A." I said, "Okay, let's go to Chick-fil-A." And we were walking down that terminal, and he looked up. And I'm telling you what, I'll tell you on the other side of the break.
Yeah, we got the music going here. We'll be back with Scott Volk. We're going to find out what happened with Chick-fil-A and Dr. Brown.
fire we
It's the Line of Fire with your host, Dr. Michael Brown. Get into the Line of Fire now by calling 866-34-TRUTH. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
Hey everybody, I am not Dr. Michael Brown. I am Ron Cantor, not even a doctor. But I'm having a blast on his radio show today. We're having a great time. We talked about Donald Trump. We talked about Brexit. We talked about Israel. And we've been talking with Scott Volk about his Israel tour. But Scott was telling us, we got a lot of stories we could tell about Dr. Brown. But he was telling us about being in the Atlanta airport when Dr. Brown said, let's go eat at Chick-fil-A, at which, Scott, you told him it was actually Chick-fil-A. But he was convinced it was Chick-fil-A.
Well, he's a doctor, so
he's
rarely ever wrong. So I said,
and it's fun when he's convinced, like so convinced that he's right, that he's like, "Hey, bro, it's Chick-fil-A."
That's right. He looked at me with this condescending look through his glasses and over that big manly mustache.
You're just a mere pastor. What do you know?
That's right. I was like a little pimple. I said, "Okay, let's go eat at Chick-fil-A." So we're walking down, and when we get to the restaurant, Ron, he looks up and he goes, that's really interesting. And I couldn't wait to hear his response. But of course he didn't say, I'm sorry, I was wrong. This is what he said. He said, you know, in ancient Ugaritic, when the vowel is at the end of the word, and I just looked at him, I said, don't even give it to me. So even when he loses, he wins.
Yeah, well, that's the gift. I mean, the man debates rabbis, so he's quick on his feet, and so we got to give him props for that. They did that. You know, speaking of airports, I had something funny happening a few weeks ago. I had landed in JFK, and you know, I'm following the news. You know, Target, they're opening up their bathrooms to anyone, and grown men can come in to the girls' bathroom. And of course, I've taken a pretty strong stand about that being just utterly stupid. And I mean, even for liberals, I don't really understand it. It's like, okay, on certain issues with liberals, I can see their point of view. I disagree. But this is just stupid that you got Bruce Springsteen and others canceling concerts because I don't want a 45-year-old male with male equipment going into a place where my 5-year-old daughter is and using the bathroom, that she might have to be confronted with that and that, oh my gosh, it's going to hurt his feelings if he can't use a little girl. So I've taken, you know, a stand on that, and because I think it's silly. It's just so I go to I'm in America now, and I'm thinking I don't know what I'm going to encounter going to the bathroom, and I'm going to my flight, and I am I got to go. You know, I've been on a plane for 14 hours. I got to go. So I go into the bathroom, and I don't want to get too detailed, but it was about a 10-minute ordeal. And I checked a few emails, I caught up with a few friends, tweeted a few things, and then I was done. And I washed my hands, it's very good things to do. And I'm leaving, and this Oriental woman walks in. And I thought, oh my goodness, it's happening, it's everywhere. People just use any bathroom they want to now in America. And then I realized she didn't speak English, and I'm like, oh goodness gracious, she doesn't even know the difference between men and women's bathrooms. I said, no, I said it very slowly, you're in the men's bathroom. Let me, sweetheart, help you. And she walks out with me to inform me that for 10 minutes I had been in the women's bathroom. So at that point, I began to get concerned that she thought maybe I was self-identifying that morning as a female, which I wasn't. I was just a very confused, jet-lagged human being. So funny
Ronald.
Things can happen in airports. So getting back to your tour, what do folks need to do to sign up for your tour to Israel? And you do guarantee that when they land, you, no matter how jet-lagged they are, you will point them to the right bathroom. Is that right?
We will definitely point them to the right bathroom. Our tour, Ron, it's actually Dr. Brown's tour that I'm blessed to be joining him on. It's February 25th through March 6th. You can go to Dr. Brown's website, askdrbrown.org. The entire trip cost from New York is $3,750, all inclusive. And for anybody that's a partner with Dr. Brown's ministry, he calls them torchbearers. We're giving special discounts to Torchbearers, monthly partners of Dr. Brown. And I'm telling you, bro, It's going to be an absolutely fabulous trip. Will you be in Israel during the time that we're there?
I should be there in February, and if I am, I am going to crash your tour, I promise.
Yeah, I think you definitely need to crash the tour, and although you're probably not tooting your own horn, I think it would be really good for Dr. Brown's listeners to know that you also lead your own tours, and everybody that goes on those tours are tremendously blessed. So you can either tour with a guy who thinks that the restaurant is called Chick-fil-A, or the guy that goes into the wrong bathroom
right
when he's in America.
Those are your only two choices. It's either Chick-fil-A or the self-identifying bathroom user. Scott, thank you so much for being with us and calling in. It's great hanging out with you all weekend. In fact, your kids just came by and kidnapped my wife and took her out so she didn't have to sit in the studio the whole time. And
you're awesome, Ron, and you're doing a great, great job. Bravo. And may the Lord bless Messiah's mandate. You're doing a great, great work in Israel.
Thanks. And may the Lord bless Together for Israel. That is the name of Scott's ministry. You can go there. And when you give to Together for Israel, you're actually giving to people like us who are on the ground in Israel. Together for Israel exists to be a blessing to Messianic believers in Israel. So go sign up for his newsletter, give to that ministry, get involved. And Scott, great to have you with us this afternoon. Okay, if you would like to speak to me, and I see someone, Allison, you're on the line, we'll get to you in just a second, but you can talk about anything you want to. We've talked about Brexit, we talked about Donald Trump becoming a believer, according to Dr. James Dobson. Call 866-34-TRUTH. That's 866-348-7884. And we've actually got about 5 minutes before our next break, so, oh, we just lost Allison. You did so good. You hung in there, and then you hung up. So if you want to talk to me, Ron Canner, at 866-34-TRUTH. That's 866-348-7884. We've talked a lot about a lot of different things today. And one of the things that you may not have heard about is that the Presbyterian, there's a lot of different Presbyterians, so I want to make sure it's not that one. I feel like Rush Limbaugh going through my pieces of paper. Here it is. Matt, you couldn't have printed this any smaller. Goodness gracious. But anyways, during its 22nd, no, it's two, talk about an old denomination, 222nd Biennial General Assembly, which took place in Portland, Oregon, very liberal city. This week, the Presbyterian Church USA continue its strong support for Palestinian rights. By the way, I support Palestinian rights. You know who does not support Palestinian rights? The Palestinian leadership that continues to steal from their own people, that continue to imprison them. The Hamas-controlled Gaza Strip, they continue to oppress the Palestinian people. We would love to liberate the Palestinian people. We know of one young man who was a gas station worker. He was literally kidnapped by Hamas, taken to a police station. His head was shaved and he was beaten. His feet were beaten to the point that he could not walk. And his crime is that he used hair gel. That's what happens in the palace. So Presbyterian Church USA, you go for it. You go for the liberation of the Palestinian people, but just make sure you find out who exactly is oppressing them, because that might help if you want to bring them freedom. Did you know that Yasser Arafat, that's right, that wonderful freedom fighter, Yasser Arafat, fighting for the rights of the Palestinian people, risking his own life, he died with $1 billion U.S. dollars in his personal bank account. $1 billion U.S. dollars in his bank account. I bet you didn't know that. You just tell me this, friends, Presbyterian Church USA. Tell me this. How do you die with $1 billion in your bank account when your whole life, you're a ministry, basically. You are a freedom fighter, and yet you've got $1 billion. And of course, we know that Mahmoud Abbas is a millionaire, a multimillionaire. They have stolen this money. This is aid money from the Palestinian people. So the Presbyterian USA has put pressure on REMAX. And by the way, we bought a tiny little property in Richmond, Virginia recently, and we use REMAX. You know what? I will not use REMAX ever again. You hear that, REMAX? I will not use you, and I hope that nobody listening to my voice will use REMAX until you go back on what you did, because they have agreed with the Presbyterian Church, because of pressure, to do no business in what's called the West Bank. We call it Judea and Samaria. And so They gave in to pressure. And you know what? I don't go around looking at who can I boycott. But if somebody is going to use boycotting against me, then I'm going to use the same thing. So I want all of our listeners to know. And listen, I'm so sorry to my realtor. He was one of the sweetest guys. He was just great. But I won't use REMAX until they apologize for this and rescind this decision. Because, and by the way, if you're Presbyterian, these folks probably do not represent you. It's always a few liberals that get power at the top that aren't even genuine born-again believers, often, who make decisions for the whole. So if you're part of Presbyterian Church USA, get involved. When we come back, we're going to talk a little bit about Israel's relations with Turkey. Nathan is holding on the line, and we're going to talk about that. See you in a minute on the Line of Fire.
It's the Line of Fire with your host, Dr. Michael Brown, your voice of moral, cultural, and spiritual revolution. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
Welcome back, everybody. I am not Dr. Michael Brown. I am Ron Cantor filling in for Dr. Brown, who is just getting back from some amazing ministry in Australia. I'm just so blessed that he's asked me to sit in the seat and take charge of this microphone. I have had a blast. This is our last segment, but I don't know if I'm going to leave. I might just stay all week. I have had such a great time with you guys. If you want to know a little bit more about us, just go to my website, roncantor.com. My wife and I, we pastor in Tel Aviv, and we have a wonderful congregation, a Hebrew-speaking congregation, reaching out to Israelis with the good news of Yeshua in their native tongue. One of the first Messianic congregations in 2,000 years to preach, worship, fellowship, just in Hebrew. In fact, in May, we laid hands on a brand new local pastor, Gil Afriat, a native-born Israeli, and we're just so excited about his ministry. We've written some books, Identity Theft. You can go to idtheftbook.com and start reading for free. And our podcast, we do our own podcast. It's roncan.net/ronpad. We'll put all this on our website at messiahsmandate.org or roncantor.com. And then if you want to get a free book, just go to our website, fill out the subscription form. It's this is actually for the book, roncan.net/15facts. Make sure the F is capitalized. And again, thank you so much to Dr. Brown for allowing me to fill in, and to Matt and the whole team here. It's great that we had Scott Volt call in and we talked about the tour that they're going to be doing in February. Before we close, we're going to talk a little bit about Turkey, because Israel has had a very bad relationship with Turkey. They probably have the most radicalized leader, Muslim-wise, that they've had in modern history. And then a few years ago, when there was a group of activists from Turkey that came into Israel with knives and all kinds of weapons, and they were going to go into Gaza, which we don't let you do. We don't let you go into Gaza. Why? Because we don't want you to bring guns in there. We're about saving our lives. Do you understand that? So we're not going to allow our enemy to have weapons. So we stopped them, and then they attacked our soldiers, and then some of them were killed, and that destroyed our relations. And that was fine with me, because you know what? I don't need to vacation there anywhere. That was the number one at the time, the number one vacation spot for Israelis. It's now Greece. But just today, relationships have been normalized, and it's a big deal in Israel right now. Everyone's talking about it. And Nathan, you're from right here in North Carolina. You wanted to talk about that. What have you got to say, Nathan?
Hey, Ron, good to hear from you, man, and great job on the radio today, enjoying it.
Thank you so much.
Yeah, man, just reading through some of the articles today, and was just super interested on your perspective. But I think Erdogan, Prime Minister of Turkey, I don't know, he seems like a pretty sketchy guy, and I'm curious to know what some of the prevailing Israeli perspective is on these normalizations or restorations of relationships after that whole flotilla incident. Just kind of as an Israeli yourself, some of your perspectives on that.
Well, that's a great question, Nathan. And right now we know that 56% of Israelis are opposed to the deal, because part of the deal, and 33% support it, 11% are undecided. But one of the reasons so many are opposed to the deal, number one, we don't have to bow to other nations. God has called Israel, brought the Jewish people back from all the nations where he scattered us. Someone actually asked early if I would talk about the fact that the Jews were separated from their physical homeland for 2,000 years, and yet we became a nation again. That's miraculous. God did that, and God is who we answer to. Not that we're not part of the community of nations, but we don't have to allow people to act upon us. We have a voice, and these folks were terrorists that were coming into Israel, and they were supporting terrorism, talking about the ship that came in a few years ago. And part of the agreement is that we have to apologize for defending ourselves, and our government is going to give $20 million in compensation to the family of those who were illegally coming into Gaza and attacked our soldiers. So there's a lot of Israelis, or 56%, that are saying, no, we should not be doing this. We should not be apologizing. We should say, Turkey, we would love to have normalized relationships with you. Act responsibly. Don't let your people do stupid stuff that's going to get them killed. And then they won't have to have an issue with the IDF, the Israeli Defense Forces. So, again, that is the immediate reaction. This was really just finalized. They've been talking about it for the past few days, but they've been finalized just today. So, personally, I prefer to be at peace with Turkey than to not be at peace.
Sure.
And we had... Again, we vacationed there as a family when we first moved to Israel. And the Turks, where we vacationed, which is on the southern part of the Mediterranean Sea, not in the big capital, the populated centers, they love Israelis. They were so hurt and broken that Israelis didn't feel safe going there anymore. But we'll see what happens with that. Does that answer your question? Have anything to add, Matt? I mean, Nathan?
Yeah, absolutely. I just was very curious because of... how shaky that whole thing is in Turkey, especially with that leader. And I really agree with your position. So, yeah, great stuff. Thanks for your help.
Well, thank you, Nathan, for calling in. And we've got just a few minutes left. I see Lucille is on the line. Lucille, you're on with me, Ron Cantor, in the Line of Fire.
Hi, Ron. Recently, there are commercials on TV about donating to help out Soviet Jews to get them back to Israel. So when I spoke to them, I donated, and then, of course, 6 days a week, I kept getting, mail every day asking me to donate more and more and more. So anyway, I called them up to speak with them, and, you know, I said, well, what do you do with the money that's donated? And they said, we fly these, you know, destitute Soviet Jews back to their homeland first class. Mm-hmm. And I said to myself, I even said to the lady who was on the phone, I said, don't you think that's a little bit frivolous? If they're destitute, instead of flying them first class, why not fly them back to Israel, you know, the way
right.
everyday
well,
people
Lucille,
fly?
I've only got about a minute left, but let me respond to that. That ministry led by Rabbi Yahiel Eckstein, they are not believers. You have to understand that. There are many people that will see his commercials on TV, and they assume that he is a messianic rabbi. Actually, he is anti-messianic. He's against the gospel from everything that I know. Now, they do good work. They do help people. They've come under a little bit of fire for the amount of his salary, which is quite high for a nonprofit organization. But they have helped a lot of people. But if you want to actually find a ministry that are helping believers in Israel, then you can go to togetherforisrael.com. .org or .com, I'm not sure. That's Scott's ministry, where they're raising money and they are giving to the Messianic believers in Israel, to the poor in Israel. That way you know it's going to believers, and you know that the money is going to a place that you support. Well, friends, we've only got about 40 seconds left. I just want to say that this has been wonderful. Thank you to everybody who called in. Thank you, Dr. Brown, for entrusting me with your microphone. We bless you. Want to learn more about us? Go to roncantor.com. God bless you. Have a great week. Change the world.